Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Minnesotans have a justifiable reputation for being civil. Well, last night, we got to see what happens when Minnesotans fight. Not a new reality show, but former Governor Tim Pawlenty and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann at the presidential candidates debate in Ames. In this one exchange, it started when Bachmann said Pawlenty compromised on taxes and praised part of health care reform, just as President Obama has done, to which he replied,
"She said she's got a titanium spine. It's not her spine we're worried about. It's her record of results. If that's your view of effective leadership with results, please stop, because you're killing us."
Wait. Congressman Bachmann, 30 seconds to respond.
Thank you so much. I was at the tip of the spear fighting against the implementation of Obamacare in the United States Congress. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and Barack Obama ran Congress, but I gave them a run for their money.
If you heard a sense of urgency last night, it could be that this is the candidate's last debate without Texas Governor Rick Perry, who will announce his candidacy tomorrow, just as Iowans go to the straw poll, which, convenient for him, has a write-in. Today we want to take a look at the debates past, at the new guy on the block, also a little later at how Republicans are being asked out on the campaign trail about taxes. But first we start with O.K. Henderson, news director of Radio Iowa. She writes a blog there as well. O.K., welcome as always.
Good day.
And Evan Smith, co-founder and editor-in-chief at the Texas Tribune. He's been covering Rick Perry for two decades and joins us from the studios of KUT in Austin. Evan, welcome to you as well.
Hi, thanks.
And Kay, let's start with the debate. Politico says it turned Minnesota nasty. Wall Street Journal, fierce face-to-face exchanges jolt Republican race to life. Your thoughts?
Well, ironically, I thought the most cogent argument against Bachmann was offered by a different person, Rick Santorum, who many people may not even know is running for president, when he said Americans are looking for leadership, not showmanship. That is the essence of the argument that Pawlenty presented last night against Bachmann, attacking her for criticizing the debt ceiling vote and then not getting her way in Congress, attacking her for saying that she was opposed to Obamacare, but lo and behold, the country has Obamacare, and attacking her for one of her loudest applause lines when she is on the campaign trail, when she does a little half turn and uses one of her arms to gesture down her back and says, "See this spine? It's a titanium spine." She gets wild applause for that, for he attacked the core part of her message that she is a fighter.
Well, what are you saying, though? You know, did it work? Because he was unrelenting. But given
right.
the opportunity to attack Mitt Romney in the last debate, he
right.
folded. So will he be seen as someone willing to pick on the female candidate, not the front-runner male?
Well, he did pick on Romney last night. He said Obamacare, which he failed to do in the last debate. And he also made a passing comment that attacked Romney's wealth. He volunteered to mow the yard of anyone who could come up with President Obama's mm-hmm. detailed economic plan, and he offered to, you know, cook them dinner or mow their yard, but he said in Romney's case he would limit that to 1 acre.
Right. And then Mitt Romney responded, "I kind of liked you better in the last debate,"
exactly.
when you folded. But Evan, just bring you in here. You know, others yeah. thought they heard a sense of urgency because, as we said, Rick Perry's aides confirmed that he will announce tomorrow just before the debate last night. Now, the candidates were asked if Rick Perry had outsmarted them. But your thoughts, because he seems to be toying with Iowa like a cat with a ball.
Well, it's a pretty clever strategic move if you think about it. If you want to mute the effect of the result of the Iowa straw poll, you create another headline that runs counter to it or alongside it. And so on Sunday morning, the headlines in the newspapers will be Rick Perry gets in the race, and the result of the Iowa straw poll will be below the fold, if maybe even inside the newspaper. And this is, you know, those of us who know Perry over the years know that he is a terrific campaigner. Whatever you think of him as governor, Democrat or Republican, observers alike would say that this man is an extraordinary politician, maybe one of the best we've ever seen in our lifetimes, and his campaigns have tended to be incredibly efficient and creative and tactical, and this is par for the course. He understands that what we saw last night on stage confirms the sense that the Republican field is weak and that there is an opening for a candidate who checks certain boxes not now being checked. He checks the evangelical box. He checks the Southerner box. He checks the Tea Party box. But unlike a lot of these candidates who are either candidates of pragmatism or candidates of conviction, but not both, he really has one foot in the economic conservative camp and one foot in the social conservative camp. We understand that a national campaign is not the same as a campaign in Texas. He is going to be subject to a level of scrutiny. He personally and his record will be subject to scrutiny unlike anything he's seen in his 25 years of public life in Texas.
Well, Levin
but
Smith,
he goes into the campaign strong because the opening exists.
Well, we want to do that with you. We want to take a closer look. But so you've set up sort of maybe what was, you know, rattling some cages last night, this sense of Rick Perry coming in. But let's take a further look at last night. Kay, Chris Wallace, one of the panelists, asked former House Speaker Newt Gingrich about the resignations of his top staff members. And pretty much, I think he said, Gingrich's campaign is a mess. Here's Gingrich's response.
I think that there's too much attention paid by the press corps about the campaign minutia and not enough paid by the press corps to the basic ideas that distinguish us from Barack Obama.
In other words, look over there. Nothing to see here. Look over there. And, you know, I'm going to do just what Newt Gingrich decried, Kay, and talk about, you know, the campaign and the sense of who goes on for here from here. Did he help himself last night? Did Rick Santorum, you said you liked one line from him, but at another point he raised his hand.
Well,
and
it was memorable, actually.
Yeah, he was, you know, but he wasn't there. He didn't get a chance to talk. So
right.
Who helped themselves last night?
I think Gingrich helped himself. He redeemed himself in the eyes of many of the people in the audience. If you talk to people who were coming out of the debate, who were there in the arena, they liked what Gingrich had to say. They were stunned by the question posed to Bachman about whether she would be submissive to her husband. It made her a very sympathetic character to people who aren't even supporting her in the straw poll or on the campaign trail.
But she has said, we should be reminded that the comment she made was that she went into law, I believe, because her husband suggested it, and the Bible says you should be submissive to your husband.
Right. There were people who were coming out of that debate site, particularly women, who wondered why Gingrich wasn't asked if he was henpecked by his wife to go on that trip to Greece. There was a sense that she was being picked on by women in the audience because she was the woman on the stage.
Interesting. I guess we should raise this now, although, you know, some listeners might be wondering, then what are you talking about it for? But the statistic that shows that only one candidate won the straw poll and went on to win the presidency of the United States, which sort of brings the question, all this concentration on last night, on tomorrow, is it all in the long run really important, or is it just kind of fun because it really was a really flashy debate last night?
It was a flashy debate last night, but if you look back at the five straw polls which have been held in Iowa over the years since 1979, they mean different things. In 1987, the straw poll victory by Pat Robertson was a signal that the Christian coalition was a viable force within the Republican Party. In 1995, when Phil Gramm and Bob Dole tied in the straw poll, it showed that Dole was sort of a weak candidate heading into the general election. In 1999, when George W. Bush won the straw poll going away, it was his way of putting down a marker and telling everyone else, get out now. This nomination is mine. The money is behind my campaign.
Yeah. Well, and who do you think, I mean, I'll just ask you to look at the tea leaves, after last night in particular, who do you think has the advantage tomorrow, and what will that say?
Well, oddly enough, the advantage tomorrow may be Ron Paul's. He did not acquit himself well in the eyes of many in that debate last night when its focus was on foreign policy, and he articulated a view on foreign policy that is not the quote-unquote mainstream of his party. But on the ground here, he has a talented team of folks who have been organizing for this straw poll since April. The person who is heading that team is Drew Ivers. Drew Ivers was the campaign manager for Pat Robertson in 1987 when he won that straw poll going away.
Yeah. Okay, well, a little look at that. But, you know, then we have this big, you know, everybody set up the chess table real nice, and then this guy comes in and maybe knocks it all askew. There's a write-in tomorrow. I mean, who knows what Rick Perry will do? He's announcing tomorrow. Evan Smith of
yep.
Texas Tribune, help us a little with this. Many Americans only discovered him last weekend through his prayer summit there in Texas. And at that time, we started hearing a lot from people like, Mike Bickle, who's founder of the International House of Prayer. His was one of the groups that supported Perry's Day of Prayer. And he said things like this in the past, and we started hearing this a lot.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist. The heart of Babylon will be a religion of affirmation, toleration, no absolutes, a counterfeit justice movement. They will feed the poor, have humanitarian projects, inspire acts of compassion for all the wrong reasons.
So, Evan Smith, again, a lot of Americans looking up and saying, what? And this is a governor, standing on stage with these people. What impact might that have, not just in Iowa, but more broadly?
I'm not sure it's going to have much of an impact in this sense. You know, the 08 campaign, we had Jeremiah Wright and Barack Obama, attempts by the Republicans to tie Obama to Wright. I'm not sure that really worked.
Yeah, but hold on a second. I mean, you know, this is a governor of a state calling for a Christians-only prayer summit and inviting people like this to speak. This isn't a past association.
Well, but nor are these people Governor Perry's pastors. The fact is, Jeremiah Wright was Obama's pastor. These people are not Governor Perry's pastors. If you remember in the 08 campaign, John McCain accepted the endorsement of John Hagee, the San Antonio megachurch preacher, and then had to withdraw his association with Hagee when it was discovered that Hagee referred to the Catholic Church as the Whore of Babylon. I mean, we have had candidates of both sides associated with members of the clergy who have said things that many people around the country find to be extraordinary. But this is not going to ultimately stick to Rick Perry, I suspect, because Rick Perry intends to run a campaign where no matter what question he's asked, the answer is going to be jobs.
Well, let me ask you about that. Because, you know, he's got this budget that is the envy of many because with spending cuts, without raising taxes or touching the state's rainy day fund, he managed to balance the budget. But this $15 billion in cuts came at the expense of education, veterans, care for the neediest. Those cuts go into effect in September. And a lot of people are being critical of his claims of jobs. He says that in the last 4 years, 40% of the net new jobs created in the country were in his state, but others are saying, yeah, well, it's because of oil prices, military spending, not because of you.
Well, there are a couple things on the jobs front. Let me address the question of the budget first. We did endure a legislative session in which $15 billion was cut from the budget, $4 billion cut from public education. It was going to be as much as 10. $4 billion cut from public ed was the good news at the end of the legislative session. Higher ed was cut. Health care was cut. Many of the programs you're talking about. We don't yet know the consequences of those cuts, but let me tell you something. This was not accomplished easily. It was very controversial. There are a lot of people who are very concerned about the effect of those kinds of cuts on a state that was already low tax and low service. And so the governor will brag about what he did on the top line, but I think the story below the top line is going to be a little bit more problematic for him. And you're going to have a lot of people in Texas saying, during this time as governor, the governor was actually responsible for the dismantling of a lot of social programs that people in the state wanted. On the jobs front, he does have a great record to run on paper. You know, you hear about 8% of the population in Texas, but 40% of the job growth. You hear that in his 10 years as governor, Texas created more jobs than the other 49 states combined. Problem is, a lot of those jobs are low wage, and a lot of them were not created. They were stolen from other states. As president, you can't steal jobs from other states, maybe from other countries. But that record is going to endure a lot of scrutiny as well.
Evan Smith, editor-in-chief at the Texas Tribune, also speaking with O.K. Henderson, news director of Radio Iowa, taking a look at where we are as the Republican candidates debated last night, and Governor Rick Perry is going to jump in tomorrow. You guys, thank you so much for this snapshot. Thank you.
Thank you.